Hello, good night, ladies and gentlemen. We're back again, another wonderful Tuesday night. And this is Keith, the entrepreneur. And tonight, looking for an awesome show. We have a lovely guest tonight that's going to be sharing with us some great information. So tonight we're going to have an awesome time. And again, this is our Christian and Sex. And pretty much we have been doing this for a while, and you've been a great, great audience. You guys have, some of you guys have come back a couple of times. And of course, you know, this is an us show where we get to relax and we can just have a dialogue about different issues. And you matter. And so it's a place where we can feel comfortably sharing, and don't feel judged or feel ashamed. But it's a place where we can actually connect and look at the world from different viewpoints, standpoints. You know, we all have our past, and we all have our present, and looking forward to our future. But here we are on this moment in time, talking about issues that we face, and this show is really designed for that. Tonight we have a great show, and the title of this show tonight is, I think it's off the cuff, I think it's interesting, something you don't hear about much, but the title is, Should Husbands Have a Say in a Woman's Choice for Sterilization? I'm going to say it again. Should husbands have a say in a woman's choice for sterilization? And we have a co-host who is looking to be on very soon. A lady, her name is Lady Misty, and she has been a great co-host. But tonight we have, we call another amazing lady. And she's a coach, and she's worked in the I'll call it, it's a very important sector, and it's the sexual and reproductive health. And she has a lot of knowledge, a lot of insights firsthand on women's health and family issues and family health. So we're here to have her introduce to us herself, and she's also going to read for us some stats, some, I would say, mind-blowing stats. So again, welcome here again on Tuesday night on Kristen and Sex.
Hi. I'm Coach Raquel. You introduced me?
Yes.
Are you able to hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, you can. Yes. Okay, so you're ready for me to share the data?
Yes, ma'am. You can go right ahead.
Okay, great. So I'm going to be sharing two things tonight. I'm going to be giving you some statistics on sterilization in the U.S., and then I'm going to share with you what is really offsetting this conversation tonight, a story that was featured on insider.com. A woman who needed her husband's consent to get her tubes tied, or otherwise known as sterilization. So I'm going to share the story first, and then I will share the the data, share what the data says. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
Okay, great.
I would love that.
Okay, great. So from the insider, a woman was told she needed her husband's permission to get her tubes tied. Her story went viral, but it's not uncommon. A Twitter user went viral on Monday, and this story was on February 25, 2020 at 2:12 p.m. So on that Monday, within that week, when she reported that her OBGYN wouldn't let her get a tubal ligation without her husband's signature. Now, tubal ligation is a word that also is used for sterilization. So at Holly Resists wrote on Twitter that she asked her doctor if that was a law, and the OBGYN reportedly said it wasn't, but that this was their policy. Replies flooded it. One response was, dangerous policy to have that opposes informed consent and patient autonomy, wrote OBGYN Leah Torres in response to the original post. Another user wrote that all the doctors she saw in Indiana had a policy of making a woman's father sign for consent if the woman was unmarried. One user recalled that 30 years ago, a friend of hers had been forcibly sterilized while sedated after a C-section on the request of her husband, but without her knowledge. Imagine that, right? Vasectomies, one of the only options for male contraception, have never required spousal consent. In fact, actor Dax Shepard made headlines when he got a vasectomy without telling his wife, Kristen Bell. States started to drop the need for husband's approval in the 70s, but the Supreme Court never issued a judgment on the matter. Tubal ligation is a surgical procedure that is over 99% effective at preventing pregnancy, according to the Mayo Clinic. It's a form of permanent birth control that cuts the fallopian tubes. Most procedures can't be reversed. The process doesn't affect a menstrual cycle, and it doesn't prevent transmission of STDs or STIs, though there is some evidence that it may decrease the risk of ovarian cancer. According to federal government policy, women do not need their spouse's consent to have their tubes tied, though that was a requirement decades ago. In 1974, states like Georgia, North Carolina, and Virginia required spousal consent for procedures, but by the end of the 1970s, the requirement had been challenged by a handful of court cases, and federal courts ruled state spousal consent laws unconstitutional, though the Supreme Court has never issued a judgment on the matter, so it isn't completely resolved. Today, some private hospitals and providers still have these policies and won't perform the operation without the consent of both spouses. Women have been denied the procedure for a multitude of reasons, for being too young, unmarried, or having only one child. In 2012, a woman named Monica Trumley wrote for Slate about having to fight to get the procedure at age 26. Gosh, that's 26. Early. I know, right? And here's a quote. The paternalistic treatment of doctors telling me they were going to talk me out of it still ticks me off, she wrote.
Wow.
In 2014, the Chicago Tribune reported on Lori Witt's quest to get her tubes tied. She was told she was too young and might change her mind about having children. A woman named Erin Thompson told Vice in 2019, like just last year, that it took her 2 years to get her tubes tied. To qualify, she needed to get cleared by a psychologist to write a two-page paper defending her choices. Oh my gosh. It took her husband a week to get a vasectomy. This issue was prevalent enough that the Ethics Committee of the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists was forced to release an advisory in 2017. I mean, it's just the other day, telling their doctors not to condescend to female patients wanting their tubes tied. And here's another quote. A request for sterilization in a young woman without children should not automatically trigger a mental health consultation, they wrote. Although physicians understandably wish to avoid precipitating sterilization regret in women, they should avoid paternalism. Insurance coverage on the procedure varies from state to state. The procedure can range from $1,500 to $6,000. According to the Henry J. Kaiser Family Foundation, when the Affordable Care Act was passed, it included a requirement all private health insurance plans cover at least one of 18 FDA-approved contraceptive methods for women. That meant female sterilization. Did I say fertilization? That's so funny. That meant female sterilization must be fully covered for women with private insurance. But for women on Medicaid, there are more restrictions in place. Federal funds cannot be used to sterilize women younger than 21. Under Medicaid regulations, women who want sterilization must sign a consent form and wait 30 days before the procedure if they are on Medicaid, compared to privately insured women with no wait period. Federal laws allow providers to refuse sterilization services to patients due to religious objections. According to the Guttmacher Institute, 18 states allow some of their healthcare providers to refuse sterilization services to patients. The Catholic Church prohibits sterilization, and as many as one in six hospitals in America are Catholic Church affiliated. That's alarming to me. Let's now look at, I see that Lady Misty is here. Lady Misty, go ahead and call in so I can accept it before I go to the data, because the data is so alarming to me.
Yes, it is.
You can go ahead and call in so we can get you in now. Wow, that was something.
Amazing.
Yes.
So folks, if you've been watching.
Sorry, go ahead.
If you have been following a Christian in sex, is Lady Misty on it yet?
Yes, she is.
Hi, good night.
Oh, Lady Misty, welcome. Hi. Again. Yes.
Hi.
Yeah. So I'm just going to complete. Go ahead.
I always ask.
Good night. Go ahead, Keith, and then I'll just wrap up with this. Should I continue?
Yes, you should.
We're silent, or is it I'm not hearing? Hello?
Oh, yes.
I should continue.
Yeah, but there's a little delay going on.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm just going to continue with my stats and then so I can get out of here so I can hear you guys really chop this up like you usually do. Okay. So in 2015 to 2017, approximately 60 women aged 15 to 49 were using some type of contraceptive method, while 35% were not currently using a method. Female sterilization increased. Current use of any method of contraception was higher among older women and non-Hispanic white women compared with younger women and non-Hispanic Black women. The most commonly used methods were female sterilization 18.6%, pill 12.6%, LARCs 10.3%, and male condom 8.7%. Use of these methods varied across age, Hispanic origin and race, and education. Sterilization was the highest, as you heard.
Mm-hmm.
Female sterilization increased with increasing age. About 1 in 20, this one shocked me, about 1 in 20 women aged 20 to 29, that's 4.2%. 1 in 5 women aged 30 to 39, 21.6%, another shocker for me, and nearly 2 in 5 women aged 40 to 49, 39.4%, were relying on female sterilization for contraception. Female sterilization declined with higher education. For example, 32.1% of women with a high school diploma or general equivalency diploma, that's a GED, we're using female sterilization for contraception, for contraceptive reasons, compared with 11.3% of women with a bachelor's degree or higher. If I may say before I get off the call, get off and leave you guys, this is alarming to me, and it makes me want to ask myself, why is it more undereducated women are doing this? It really. So I'm going to. Is that all you want from me tonight?
That's no, all. Actually, that I want but, to stay as long as you can, because I think I need some more time.
Okay.
Yeah. So hang right there. Like I said earlier, that you did work in the sexual.
I did work in the Sexual Health Authority. In Jamaica for the Ministry of Health.
Yes. And I think we'd like to hear more from you. So hang on in there. So Lady Misty, we're happy again that we are back together in this amazing show, Christendom Sex.
Yes.
And Misty, I always ask this question: how was your day? I like to hear when you say how your day was. You know, something about that works. I love it.
It was a wet day. It has been raining all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it has been a wet day.
A wet day. It sounds exciting.
But God is good, so.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, thank you.
I'm inside and I'm not wet. I'm dry, so.
There you go.
I'm happy for that.
We are warm and dry on the inside. So if you're feeling right. Wet, I'm sorry. But guys, if you have been watching the Christian and Sex show episodes, you'll find that we're data-driven. It's data-driven because it's not just talk, it's look at real numbers, because you know numbers really are significant in how we know whether something is decreasing or increasing, and what we can do about
That's
it,
right.
And how we can even approach it, and so forth. But tonight, folks, I want to again thank you for coming on, and I know that you may have some questions, so we look forward to those questions and those inputs that you may have. Like I said, this is a show where we all have a voice. So before you go, Mrs. Raquel, I want to ask you a question here. So having worked in that sexual and reproductive sector, if I put it that way.
Health agency.
Mm-hmm. What did you notice about the approach to birth control, or what was your most interesting experience on those things?
Okay, well, let me just give some context. I was the communications manager, which means that I was managing all the communication on sexual and reproductive health, which gave me a lot of access to the interaction of individuals or uptakers, as we'd call them, to family planning. And I've also worked not just with Jamaican audience, but I've worked with the UN agencies, UNESCO, UNFPA. UNFPA is the organization that deals with population. And I've also been a participant on the Phenomenal Girl Symposium that is held in New York every year, and became a legislative resolution in New York in 2019. Correct, Keith? We were there together.
Yes,
you and me,
correct.
Radio was there. Right.
Correct.
So I've been very close to the information. And I'm alarmed at the ages of the persons who are now uptaking sterilization, between 20 to 39. I don't recall seeing those figures before. And then what alarms me as well is I'm seeing where undereducated persons are doing it based on the data that I just shared. That is also alarming. So I remember working in the field, and one of the where we had to do a lot of work was education. I remember there was this news story that went viral once in Jamaica, where one woman She said she refused to, she had quite a number of children. I think it was 9 children, I don't remember, but she was living in the inner city. And I remember she was saying she refused to take the contraceptive because it would bung her up. That's what she would said. By that she meant, I think there was a fear that she felt that. I don't know if Lady Misty was aware of it when it happened, but it became a big thing. And we had to have intervention and so on. Where she was thinking, if I took the the contraception, then it would, I guess she's thinking it would prevent her from, I'm not even quite sure exactly what it would prevent her from, but she felt it wouldn't have been healthy for her. So what we realized was, and it's not just in Jamaica, but it's also in the US, as you can see, a lot of people are not as educated on the methods, at least that was my experience. And so a lot of work had to be done in properly and effectively educating women on their choices, the ups and the downs of those choices, the advantages, the disadvantages. Mm-hmm. And also we had to do a lot of campaigns on empowering women to be able to speak up for themselves, because a lot of women were afraid of saying, of either using or not using contraception, because they would have been afraid of how their male partner would respond, whether he was going to remain in the relationship or leave, because in a lot of cases the males were the economic generators, and in some cases he was the head of the household. So there was a fear as to, so for some women, they didn't even know how to talk about it. How do I bring this up to him? How do I ask him to use a condom, or how do I do this? So there were some women who would hide and do it because they didn't want any more children, but they felt like they also could not have that dialogue with their partner to explain that and to represent themselves, because they weren't as empowered to do so. And as you can see in the data, it's something impacting the Western world, right? So even as we listened to the insider story where they were saying that she contacted her OBGYN and her OBGYN is going to say to her, you can't, we have to speak with your husband. And in cases where the fathers get involved, you heard just the other day where T.I. says that he visits the OBGYN with his daughter once per year.
I heard that. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So the data speaks for itself. There is a culture, I believe, and this is just my personal opinion, there's a culture of women feeling unempowered. And though it doesn't mean I don't understand the fact that, and I think this is what I want to say to close, so you guys can take over. Family planning is that. Family planning. It should be that people are in a space with family where they are empowered and they can have conversations. I think the training, the conversation, the education, the campaigns for family planning, I think there should be more campaigns or more push to empower families and to train, not to train, but to teach families and to empower families to have effective communication at all levels, for economics, for decisions about the children and contraception, as opposed to just empowering the women, because the men need to be empowered as well. I think sometimes, it was my experience, I remember there was one time when one father bought his daughter a dildo. And when we met up with him and we engaged him in a conversation, he said, she's going to have sex and I just didn't know what to do. And he lives with me. I didn't know what to do. So I decided, if you must have sex, then here's a dildo, because I don't want her to, he didn't want her to get pregnant or get an STI or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So the conversation needs to become a part of education and empowerment at all levels. Yeah. And that's what the Phenomenal Girl Symposium is about. Credit to Venita Van Horn, who is the creator for that. She's a phenomenal woman. She's in New York, and I know they're gearing up for, I don't know if it's, is it the 6th has already passed? It's either I think it has either already happened or it's about to happen. It's usually held with SUNY downstate. It's a really, really great program because what they do is they go through and have these conversations to empower young girls to become aware. But I think it should be across the board because that program is for girls. But what we need to do is expand that and also educate men, empower them so they understand what family planning is about and contraception and how it impacts the woman's body, how it impacts the family and all of that. So that was my experience, and that is what I would like to share on that.
Well, it is
definitely something for everyone to get into the habit of speaking about.
Yes. I really think you could have gone on and on and on because this is good stuff. but I think Misty, Lady Misty, I brought to my attention that it was one of her listeners who kind of inspired this conversation here. Go figure, right? So the idea was that, you think about a family and a woman saying, should I be able to tie my tubes, so to speak, or go to sterilization without letting my partner know, my spouse know? Correct, Misty?
Yes.
Misty, is that correct?
That's correct. I was reading through the data and just listening to Coach Raquel a while ago, and a couple of things have been going through my mind, because I heard Coach saying that it was pretty alarming about the age group that fits in the gap of wanting to tie their tubes or being sterilized, as opposed to older women wanting to do that. So it's usually in the gap of younger people, right? That's early 20s to mid 30s, around that age. And I found it interesting. At one point in society, it was that same age group that they're saying having a lot of children. They were more prone to getting pregnant.
Teenage pregnancy.
So from teens right up to about 30, let's cut it off at 30, would be in that area saying, they're having too many children. And, the discussion came out in a bold way about unprotected sex and all of that. So I was just here, going over the numbers in my mind, and I'm here wondering, what's the real purpose of getting my tubes tied at that young age? Is it lack of education? Is it that, I just want to enjoy sex, I don't want any children, without the risk? These women, are they mostly single women, as opposed to married women wanting to do this? So it's a lot of things. In a relationship, if a woman wants to get her tubes tied, what's the argument from the man? I don't want more children. Or I just let me know what you're doing.
Wow. Lady Misty.
Why is it an issue for the man? There's a lot of questions, popping up here and there as I read through the articles and I looked at the data. So it's a lot.
So Lady Misty, question.
When I saw the question first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Question. If a woman ties a tube without letting her spouse knows, in this case, it's a married couple, should he get a divorce? Is that ground for a divorce because maybe he wanted
kids? Oh, wow. Yeah, and I was just about to say, it depends on the discussion that they had relating to children. Is it that I want more children and you don't want children? Probably she's a career-driven woman, you know?
Because, you know, some men are
very adamant. What was the discussion before?
They're wanting kids. Yeah, a lot of men say that want five kids or the one.
Right. So what was the atmosphere like before? Mm-hmm. Right. Was there an agreement? What was the atmosphere like before surrounding having children? And is the woman saying, well, it's my body and I don't want to go through this another time? As opposed to, okay, let me do this to please you. It's, you know, the discussion with children before? If
would you let me to share it is, on the sorry.
If go ahead, Cole. Go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to share the feedback that. Go ahead.
Before you share, let me thank Andre. I see Andre. I see. I see Andre, I see Laverne, I see Alexi Suki. Thank you for joining us. We definitely welcome you guys to participate if you desire to do so. Definitely call in with your with a question if you have one or that kind of thing. So at this show here, we just one family. So go ahead, Coach McKenna.
Okay, because what I was going to share was the post that shared the conversation, in addition to, of course, mm-hmm. the insider mm-hmm. Article.
Yeah.
So the post that you were referring to, Keith on Facebook, it was by Suki. Is she on? Did you just say she was there?
Oh, Suki.
I hope she is there. That would be nice. Because I would also be interested in finding out what prompted her to put that out, because she did it on March 3, but then it was covered on February 20. So in the top, the question she asked was another topic for discussion. Can a wife tie her tubes without telling her husband? Is this grounds for divorce? So let me the comments.
Mm-hmm.
124 comments. I think it's interesting to hear what the responses were. One person said, can a man snip his junk without telling his wife? Her body, not his, and vice versa. Oh. Interesting. Another person says, where scripture is concerned and certain laws of countries, that's not necessarily so, and neither should we promote this narrative and mindset. And then the reply for the person before, everyone can have their own opinion. And then another person said, she shouldn't. I'm not sure if it's legally grounds for divorce, but it will cause problems.
Mm.
I would like to say it is a no, another person says. Oh, this is a male person. And just says, I would like to say it is a no, and would be grounds for a divorce.
Okay.
And interestingly, the ones I was reading before, they were females, right? Romaine says, I think it is. So the person who posted the picture, Suki, asked why. He said, I think that's lying by omission about a life-changing event. Couldn't trust that person after that. And I'm going to read one more, and then you guys can continue if you want, or I can continue the feedback. That is wrong, since neither the husband or the wife own their bodies anymore. They belong to each other. It is mutual love and submission. For example, if a husband wants to get a vasectomy, he would need his wife's consent. It is not being controlling, but simply wise. It is not grounds for divorce. However, she can do irreparable damage on the marriage, which can lead to divorce. Not saying it is right to leave. Before I continue, what if, right? I understand the perspectives. Mm-hmm. What if a woman has, because sterilization is also a risky surgery. It's a surgery, and all surgeries mm-hmm. come with risks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe to hide and do it, I believe could be devastating, because anything can happen on the surgical table.
Mm-hmm.
I know this man, can you imagine a man finding out his wife is in the hospital in critical condition that he didn't know about because she was doing sterilization or something?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be just devastating, but I also think it is devastating that she had to. What was right. going through her mind that she felt, I could not have this conversation with my husband? I think that's equally devastating, that she felt she couldn't have the conversation.
Right.
You know? So, Tracy, you guys want to say anything else before I continue?
I just want to say, that's why I said before, it really depends on the conversations around children in the initial stages. Because
mm-hmm.
for it to lead to that, I don't think it's just up in the air like that. I think there was a conversation or an agreement before, a disagreement before, where kids are concerned. And the fact that
right.
I, as a wife, found it difficult to speak to my partner about doing this procedure means that something was wrong before, or there was a disagreement, and we didn't leave the conversation on the same page,
right?
Because that has to be something to be discussed. So the fact that I had to go behind your back, so to speak, to do this means that we were not on the same page before. Is it grounds for divorce? As that person that commented said, I don't think the actual thing would lead to divorce. Mm-hmm. I think it's the spin-offs from it.
Right.
You know, I can't yeah. trust you because you did that behind my back, or you knew I wanted children and you did that behind my back. And it's vice versa for the man too, if he goes ahead with that procedure, because probably the woman has been wanting to have children and, you know, there's nothing happening, but probably he just wants to enjoy sex. He just wants to enjoy his wife without the responsibilities of having a child.
Right. Because sterilization is 99% permanent.
Exactly. So probably the man is thinking that too. I don't really want to mess up this kind of relationship that we're having now. Or mm-hmm. they've had enough children. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It depends what's going through your mind as that spouse. What was the conversation you had? Nobody just walks into a hospital to say, hey,
A whole surgery.
There's a friend of mine right now, she got her tubes tied. She had her first child. Well, she had two children before she got married. Right? And she got married and they had one, and in like quick succession, she found out she was pregnant again. The fourth child wasn't really planned for, so she just found out she was pregnant. And when she was at the hospital, she said to the doctor, "Tie my tubes, please. I don't want to get pregnant again.
Because
I know my husband likes sex." So she didn't call her husband at that time. She was there to have the baby,
mm-hmm.
and she just got it.
And it's not that she's being deceptive either. It's just like she's thinking of it now, and Okay, I understand.
Yeah, she was saying, I've got four children and we really can't afford it. So when she got home and she told her husband, and he was like, well, that's a good decision because, you know. So he didn't have a problem with it, even though she didn't call him.
In that case, perhaps, yeah. But she knew her husband, it sounds like. Like, I know my husband. This is a decision I can make.
Okay.
That's it. That's what I'm saying.
It's because there's also knowledge. Yeah, yeah. Somebody's calling in, so let's just accept that call. Zion. Okay. I'm trying to accept you, Zion. There we go. Are you here? Did it come through? Please call back. I tried. Hi, Zion. Call back, please. Call right back. Okay, there you go. Hold on. There we go. Hi, Zion. How are you?
Hello. Good evening. How are you guys? How are you doing? How are you?
Hi. Good evening.
You're wonderful.
Wow, that's good. I just had come by here. And I was like, okay, let's check this out. Christians and sex. It's like, all right, let's read our Bibles. You know what I'm saying? Let's turn to scripture. Let's get straight up. It's like, I'm like, son of a. Mm-mm-mm. Let's talk. Go ahead.
So tonight we're talking about, should a woman have the right, does a woman have the right to obtaining sterilization, female sterilization, without telling her husband or without getting his approval?
Without getting, like, they were married for better, for worse, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that means they need to be open and talk. It's like, you know, hon, here's the deal. I can't do this, man. You got to sterilize this thing. And he'd be like, well, why are you doing that for? I'm like, well, because da, 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 da. And she tells him the reason why. And then, you know, should they agree on it? Should they talk about it? Seek some counseling on it? I mean, they're together as one. So you got married as one. And I'm like, wow, that's intense. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So you know what? You love the man? Okay, you love your man? It's like, hun, you know what? I got to sterilize. I got to do something about this. And him being the loving man should understand. If he's got some, like, isms and issues and difficulties with that problem, then they need to pray about it, talk to God about it, and see some serious counseling. Mm. Mm-hmm. Anything else? Does that make sense?
Another thing I'd like to throw in.
No?
Yes, it does.
It depends on what your convictions are, because I have been a Christian for, like, not one of those, like, oh, I prayed a little prayer in my heart and I'm safe. Woo-hoo. No, let's go for light. Yeah, let's go for a couple of years. No, like, I'm a real Christian. I repented. I got baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. Mm-hmm. Jesus is Lord of my life. You know, God's the one who invented this thing called sex. I was like, you know, you want to get into this? Like, all right, this sounds good. Let's do this. You know what I mean? Let's do what is right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing, is like, what is the right thing to do? And not a matter of, I feel that we should do this and I think we should do that. Well, what is the right thing to do? Never mind your feelings. Mm-hmm. All right. Plain and simple, man. Keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. Like, we, as people, we love to complicate the simplicities of life. Why do you think Dr. Phil's got such a real huge show? And then at the end of it, you know, he's always like, what were you thinking? Now, do you understand the repercussions, the consequences y'all have incurred upon yourselves and one another? I'm like, now what do y'all have to say for yourself? I'm like, and you're like, you know, come on, man. You got to think about it. It's like, you don't want to, please forgive me, you don't want to look like some dumbass, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're a mature adult. You know what to do. Do what is right. Plain, simple, and done, enough said. Don't complicate the situation. Does that make sense?
Let me ask you, Zion.
The data, what's the data like? It says,
what is the data?
Women, age 20 to 29.
Okay.
4.2% and 1 in 5 women age 39. I mean, 30 to 39.
Okay.
21%. So why
are you doing sterilization? If you can forgive me, can you help me out from the beginning, right? Because I'm like kind of like 29. Okay. I was that age once.
So
I think what he's saying is why do you think the data is the way it is right now? Go ahead.
As far as civilization, looking at 1 in 20 women aged 20 to 29.
Wow, that's intense.
Yes. I know, right?
Why? Why do they do these things? So they can just go out and have sex, no problem?
You know, well, you know.
Oh, that's cheesy, man. You gotta go. That's cheesiness. You gotta go. Make sure you bathe yourself, man. Make sure you're clean before you go in. Go get married, man. It could gravy. It's so much easier, I think. And that's another 45-minute Dr. Phil episode. But I'm thinking right now.
Oh, yes.
let me ask a question, Zion. Where are you calling from? Are you from, just curious.
I'm from Toronto, Ontario.
Toronto in the house.
No, where are you guys from?
Live and direct. Well, I'm in New York.
In New York. Oh, sweet, man. In the Big Apple. Mm. Oh, gotta like that, apples.
You know, I think I might have you on for another 45 minutes here because you know, the spark here is really exciting, I'm telling you.
Oh, one of those don't get me started moments.
I can see that already. So, folks, all right. Listen to Christian and Sex, y'all. This is where we have a voice, we talk, we share, we have done about different issues that affect men, women, family, boys, and girls. And, guys, remember now, you can get an app.
Oh, can you hold on for one moment, please?
Yes.
Actually, one moment, please. Thank you. Hello, is someone there?
So,
one moment. Thank you for your patience.
That's okay.
Yeah, no problem. So,
I feel like it's a commercial break.
But Zion does have a point, you know, because it says family planning.
Yes.
So it is. All right.
The family.
What are you planning?
One person making a decision. For multiple reasons, though, because what if someone, because again, sterilization is a surgery. What if someone gets sick? What if you die?
What you know, if?
Like, yes.
Oh, gosh. You got to count the cost before you do that.
Yeah.
Before you do something like that to your body, count the cost.
Yeah, absolutely. And what makes a woman feel that I can't speak to my partner? I have to go do this my way on my own. And
oh, that's cheesy.
I know, right? And why is it young people, 20 to 29, like, what decisions are you making? Like, that's a permanent decision to be making.
Exactly. When they reach my age, I can tell you something right now, okay? This is when my Jamaican roots come in and I start to, like, make a tell them something just now. How dare, like... I'm trying to figure out, why would you want to go and do that to your body? Is there a reason? Is there health concern involved here? Or is it a thing of selfishness? I don't want to get pregnant. I don't want to have to push in a human being and have to go take care of this child for the rest of its life or a good portion of it. It's like, you need to count the cost. You just may very well regret. I mean, you can always adopt. You can always foster. However, count the cost with your significant other, your husband. It makes sense.
But we're living in a very me generation.
And that is the problem.
It's really about the next thrill, and nothing will slow me down. You know, I want to get there fast. And it is sad. And what's really interesting about it, too, the church, a lot of the mindset in the church is taking on some of these ideas.
Oh,
and running with it. You know, I mean, and it's really why we bring up these topics, because, you know, people sometimes respond and say, hey, you know what? Maybe I should reconsider what I'm thinking here. Maybe I should
Think
deeper at this whole context of civilization. You know, because it is
their maturity level is not there.
Yeah.
Like, what are they thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm 51. I've been married for 12 years.
Yes.
And unfortunately, I cannot have children. You know,
You said you cannot have children.
No, I cannot have children. I had to, unfortunately, have my uterus removed.
Gotcha.
And that's too bad. Gotcha. But you know what? There's room for the children. I mean, I love kids. They're fun, man. So am I. So, you know, I mean, be mature is like, what would you do? Think about it. There's a lot of young kids making adult-like decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, son of a what? I was like, and how old are your child? I was like, so, I'm like, son of a, don't do that. Don't do that to your body. I mean, unless you're a happily married person and you and your husband can speak to each other, talk to your husband about how you're feeling. Maybe he wants to have 10 kids. And he never talked about that before y'all got married. I mean, 10 kids. I mean, that's just like, okay, that's another religion. You know what I'm saying? I'm like,
hey, that's a whole, hey, that's a whole village.
That's another 45-minute Dr. Phil episode. He left me like, so what were you thinking? I'm sorry, my bad. Well, I love children, Dr. Phil. And then he's like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Well, listen,
so, can I ask you guys, where are you guys from? Who's on the phone right now? A gentleman from New York. I'm from Toronto, Ontario. And the rest?
I'm from Dominica.
Jamaica as well.
Jamaica?
Yeah.
For real?
Absolutely.
Oh, what, which part? What part?
I'm from Manchester, but I live in St. Catherine.
Manchester. Mommy was born in St. Elizabeth.
Oh, cool. Okay. I'm in Trelawney right now.
Let's speak Canadian American right now, because you know people say Trelawney. What? What kind of meal is a Trelawney? Can I get a good side order of Trelawney? I was like, what?
let's keep it a buck, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Oh,
yeah.
And that's another 45 minute discussion.
Yes, it is. So listen to me. Listen to me. You have been a most exhilarating, exciting. What can I say?
Jesus is Lord, man. That's what it is.
Absolutely.
This broadcast here. And listen to me. We're about to wrap up soon. The hour went by so fast right here. Let it miss me. I can't believe it how fast it went by.
Sorry.
Yes.
Just about. Yeah, and listen, we're looking forward to have you back with us.
And yes, absolutely.
We do have our app, which has everything inside of it, a lot of good stuff. If you go to your
UME Radio.
Or your Play Store, type in UME. Okay. It's a letter U.
Oh, hold on. I don't have a pen and paper in front of me.
Yeah.
Hold on for a second. I want to write this stuff down. Because Christians and sex, I mean, we can talk. Because I got a little issue going. I got some isms and issues.
You'll be back every week, and we're gonna have a lot of fun here.
So, you promise?
Monday at 9 a.m.
Oh, my goodness.
Every Monday.
The tripod here, the tripod. Well, it's going to be great. But
Oh, wow. This, okay, what is, how do I get in?
U,
what's
the letter
U? I'm sorry?
The letter U.
U-M-U?
No.
M.
U.
M. U. M. E.
Radio.
Some. Okay.
And it's one word.
UME Radio.
Exactly. So UME Radio. And
okay.
Play Store, you can get it, or your App Store, you can get it. We have on there, we have things that do it. We have affiliate programs in there. We have stuff that do it.
So at Play Store?
Yes.
And it's a radio station. Yes.
And could you give us a tip on what we have in there, Sister Raquel? Just some ideas on what you can look for in the app.
We have a newspaper that's published, Power in Diaspora, New York.
Okay.
So we have newspaper. We also have our YouTube channel where we feature like documentaries and stuff. The radio station is Caribbean Influence New York Station, WMEDB New York.
Okay.
We have a dating feature on there. We have different features that you can explore on there.
Oh wow!
And if you're traveling, we can also give you some treats. Yes.
Okay. So Keith, is that you? And Misty, is that you? I'm seeing on my phone right here. Misty
and not
Keith.
Sure what
you're saying. Oh no! I'm seeing faces here.
If it's a handsome dude, it's me. If it's a handsome dude,
that's it.
It's me.
Okay. That's you. Oh. Okay. I was gonna send some money. You have to adopt. Is this Keith?
I'm not sure what you're saying, but I'm...
No, is this Keith?
Yes, it is Keith.
Oh, Keith, all right. And Misty, right?
Yes.
Right.
All right, and Zan, me, I didn't put my picture up there yet, but I'm not white, I'm Canadian.
All right.
I'm Canadian. It's called good seasoning. Like I said, my mother was born Jamaican, so was my dad.
Oh, okay.
So I'm the first generation Canadian here in Canada.
There you go. I'm trying to pick up.
Represent.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. You know, represent, yo.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very grateful. But to just to speak with you guys on a Monday night, I mean, like, what?
You know, for some reason, I see you having your own show. You know, I can see you having your own show. Really,
it's funny that you say that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Because I do want a podcast. I want to do a podcast, and I've already got a number of different guests who will be featured on it. Yeah. My program is called, the title of I've called it is Inspiring Canadian Vibes.
Yes. Well,
this is fantastic.
We can partner because we know over 44 countries and countries.
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Woo! Yes, man alive. Make it happen.
I just shared our email address and the links to the app.
I'll work with it. So you know what? I've got this mic here. I think I have to get another mic. But you know what? We'll talk about tech stuff later on, all right?
Yes, we will.
All right, because I know you guys got to go to work in the morning.
Yes. So I was about
to. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I want you. God bless you guys.
It's been a great, 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 great call. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you guys.
Likewise. Be blessed.
All right.
Good all right. Time. Take care. Take charge. And God bless you all, okay?
Bye. All right. You too.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Good night, guys.
Bye-bye.
Oh, they're so precious.
So, Misty, you want to take us out real quick and tell the audience what they would like to hear?
I didn't hear you, Keith. Go again.
I said if you can take out the audience, just take us out. You know, let all us know how we feel and just pretty much how we are looking forward to the next show.
Oh, yes. Well, I want to thank all our listeners tonight, those who tuned in. You didn't speak up, but you listened. I want to say thank you so much, Zion, for calling in. You sure added some spice to
our... I'm sorry. She was calling back. I was trying to take the call. You can call back, Zion. Call again.
Okay. Well, I was just thanking her for calling in tonight. She definitely added some insight to our program tonight. I want to say to any person out there, male or female, considering to, you know, do a sterilization or a vasectomy or something, talk about it first. Develop the art of conversation. And you may be surprised that you may change your mind. For the young people considering it as well, I also advise you to talk to somebody about it. Because, you know, youth is a very funny thing.
And pray about it.
In all the, you know, you may, the excitement and, you know, not wanting to have responsibility may cloud your judgment. So speak to somebody with a little years on them, with a little experience, and, you know, never leave God out of your decisions. Whatever decisions you're going to make, don't leave God out of it.
Awesome.
So,
thank
you. That's my few words in Jesus' name.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Olivia. And I'm gonna give the last word to our coach. It means it was a great.
Thank you for everyone who joined us.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me on tonight.
Yes.
It was
a pleasure having you tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for what you're doing too. Keep doing it because it's very informative, you know? Sex is a topic that is so tabooed. I don't know why in the Christian community. But it's good to talk about these things. It's important. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Yes. And again, audience, remember, we always say, stay connected and stay blessed.
UMED Radio. WMEDB
New York. Radio at WMEDB New York. This is your boy, Keith. Entrepreneur.